was Pentecost. And how many of you wore red last week for Pentecost? You were here. I saw some pictures. Saw there was a lot of red here. It was very festive, wonderful. Celebrate the birth of the church and the movement of God's Holy Spirit among us. This also marked sort of a new section in our study. You know, we're doing a year-long study connected to a book by Brian McLaren called We Make the Road by Walking. And I hope many of you I know are reading along and joining us. Here's the book. Hope if you haven't, pick one up and join in with us. It's sort of divided into four sections. And we've covered the first three sections. Now we're launching into section four. Section four focused all about the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwelling among us now. And so we pick up our scripture this morning. It comes from Galatians chapter 5. It's a pretty well-known passage. It's Paul encouraging the new believers in this little area, little town of Galatia, trying to help them understand how do we live more faithfully into the ways of God. So he writes this: I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you're not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Oh, he could go on, but it's quite a list already. He says, I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, indeed, we seek your Spirit to come and abide. We seek your Spirit in this moment to enlighten us, to guide us, to grow us into your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you catch the first and last line of that passage? Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. He uses this imagery of movement, of walking. It's popular all throughout the Bible. It happens often. He seems to have this assumption that the Spirit of God, sometimes we call it the Holy Spirit, sometimes the Holy Ghost, sometimes just the Spirit, is always among us. And our challenge is to walk with it. Now, if you've been reading, you know there's some great encouragement on how we do that in our passage, in our book this week. I wanted to just share a portion of it. McLaren is a good writer, and I thought, I don't need to steal his stuff. I want to share it. He writes this. He says, you know, this image of walking is everywhere in the Scriptures. Walk in the Spirit, we're told. Walk in the light. Walk in love. Walk in newness of life. Walk by faith. Walk in good works. Walk in truth. Start to get the picture a little bit. To be a disciple, he writes, is to follow a mentor, which means walking in the mentor's footsteps. The image is simple, one step at a time. Drawn by desire, leaning forward, doing the next right thing, keeping our faces or our focus on our goal and leaving the past behind. If you stumble, regain your balance. Keep walking. If you fail, get up again and keep walking. Right? If you're distracted or wander off the path, reorient yourself towards your goal and keep walking. Yeah. This image comes up over and over again. It's what Paul uses in our passage this morning. Walk with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So the real question, I think, for us today is, how? How do we keep in step with the Spirit? How does that work? The Holy Spirit is hard to pin down. Hard to know exactly where the Spirit is stepping next, right? And yet the assumption is, and the truth is, God's Spirit is with us and among us and in us. It's a promise given at baptism, the Spirit abides. Jesus talked about it at one point. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, you stay connected to me, you'll thrive. That's why some of the language we use in our call to worship this morning. So what is it to walk with the Spirit, to abide in the Spirit? McLaren writes, we're surrounded with the aliveness of the Spirit. It's all around us. All that remains is for us to learn how to let the Spirit fill, flow, and glow within us. But how do we do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways we might think about the Holy Spirit. How do we catch it? In the Bible, it sometimes speaks of the Spirit like wind. The Greek word used is pneuma. We translate that loosely. It's about breath, soul, spirit. You think about our English words that come out of this root. Pneumatic tools, right? Air-powered. This idea of the wind of God blowing along and among us, the breath of God. How do we catch it? Jesus spoke about it to Nicodemus. Remember that encounter at night? Nicodemus was trying to understand the ways of God, and Jesus said, look, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot see where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There's this mysteriousness to the Spirit as it flows and it blows. We, at the golf outing on Friday, we had a little bit of wind. It was nice. It was a lovely, warm day, but the wind was gusting at about 15, 20 miles an hour most of the day. So we had to pay attention to the wind. If we didn't, the ball was going to go way off the track. Todd, you had some great shots, by the way. Way to pay attention to the wind. I struggled a little more than that. So if the Spirit is like the wind, we have to pay attention when it shows up, where it's at, what it's doing. This is tricky stuff. But it's not just that the Spirit is out there moving among us. It's also in here. It's a part of the gift of faith. We say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow after you. We are baptized in the Spirit. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians, says, don't you know you yourselves are God's temple? Yeah. God's Spirit dwells in your midst. So we have this Holy Spirit. The question is, will we pay attention to it? Will we stay in step with it, walk with it? It's a challenging thing to do. How will we walk by the Spirit? Ken Boa is a Christian writer, philosopher. He wrote a book not too long ago called Life in the Presence of God. He was likening this journey of faith and the challenge of walking by the Spirit, sort of like an eagle learns to fly. This is what he writes. He says, you know, God seems to like eagles. 33 Bible verses mention them. Eagles are great flying birds. They get off the ground by flapping, but then they soar. They soar on thermals. Have you ever watched an eagle fly in the wind? Hardly any effort at all once they're in those thermals. The warm air that's rising up from the ground, they're just soaring on it. He says this is what they're built for. He says eagles begin their flight training early on. At 4 months of age, they're out there trying to catch the thermals. 2 months of age, they're getting up in their nests and just opening their wings when the wind comes by just to feel it and to get used to it. It's a great image of us as Christians. We take little steps along the way of beginning to pay attention to the Spirit, to the nudges, the little voice in our head sometimes that's encouraging us and challenging us into the ways of God. And when we start following Christ, we are those little eaglets who might jump out of the nest and start flapping our wings hard, right? I can do this, I can do this. Oh, what happens? Plop, right? They hit the ground because it's new. It's just trying to learn it and figure it out. But they get up and they flap again, and then they begin to catch the Spirit and the wind and soar. Boa writes, it's sort of like that for us. We make a lot of failed attempts at trying to walk by the Spirit, trying to notice the presence of God. It's not an easy thing to do, I have to say. The Spirit tends to not be very loud and obnoxious in our life, tends to not be sort of whacking us over the head to say, pay attention, right? The Spirit of God tends to be quiet and subtle, little nudges within our soul so often. I have to admit, I don't feel like I'm very good at paying attention to the Spirit of God. This is a struggle daily. How do we get better at walking by the Spirit? I want to introduce you to somebody. His name is Frank Laubach. Have you ever heard of Frank before? This is Frank back when he was young, early 1915 or so. I hadn't heard of Frank until a few years ago, and then I began to read more about him. Frank was a Christian missionary who served in the Philippines, 1915, 1930, 40, along those times. He served primarily in Muslim communities in the Philippines, and his key work, oh yeah, that's right, he's the only Christian missionary to ever receive a U.S. postage stamp, right? That's an official U.S. postage stamp, 30-cent stamp, which maybe that's what it used to cost to send a letter, I don't know, a little while back. He got to be known for literacy training because he found that as he was dealing with different people groups in the Philippines and the islands, that many of them were illiterate. They had no training, no formal education. So he had to figure out how to help them learn to read so he could share the Bible with them. And so he developed a whole process of literacy that many literacy advocates still take from today. But Frank is, I think, even more impressive these days because of the ways that he was trying to practice something. He called it practicing the presence of God. And I would put it in the language of our passage today. He was trying to walk by the Spirit, stay in step with the Spirit. And he kept a journal and a diary of this work. And I want to share a few of his diary entries today because I find them fascinating and enlightening as a way for me to think about how do I practice this walking with the Spirit day by day? How do I get in tune and connected to the Spirit of God? He writes this, January 26, 1930. For the past few days, I've been experimenting in a more complete surrender than ever before. I'm taking by deliberate act of will enough time from each hour to give God much thought. Yesterday and today, I have made a new adventure, which is not easy to express. I'm feeling God in each movement by an act of will, willing that he shall direct these fingers that now strike this typewriter, willing that he shall pour through my steps as I walk, willing that he shall direct my words as I speak, in my very jaws as I eat. Now you will object to this intense introspection, he says. Do not try it unless you feel unsatisfied with your own relationship with God. But at least allow me to realize all the leadership of God I can. I'm disgusted with the pettiness and futility of my unled self, he writes. If the way out is not more perfect slavery to God, then what is the way out? I am trying to be utterly free from everybody, free from my own self, but completely enslaved to the will of God every moment of this day. This was an amazing experiment as he was trying this moment by moment awareness of God. He goes on, March 1st, 1930. The sense of being led by an unseen hand which takes mine, while another hand reaches ahead and prepares the way, grows upon me daily. I do not need to strain at all to find opportunity. Perhaps a man who has been an ordained minister since 1914 ought to be ashamed to confess that he never felt the joy of hourly, minute by minute. Now, what shall I call it? More than surrender. It is a will act. I compel my mind to open out toward God. I wait and listen with determined sensitiveness. I fix my attention there, and sometimes it requires a long time early in the morning to attain that mental state. I determine not to get out of bed until that mindset, that concentration upon God is settled. Can you imagine? What if you started every day like that? As you woke up in bed, don't reach for the cell phone to check the messages you missed last night, as hard as that is, right? Let it be. But to take a moment to open our mind and our soul out to the Spirit of God. Say, God, lead me and guide me today. Direct my steps, my thought, my speech, my every act. So I think that's a part of the practice of walking in step with the Spirit is opening ourselves up and inviting God to lead us day by day. To not assume that happens, but to be intentional about it. One more journal entry. He writes April 22nd. This morning I started out fresh by finding a rich experience of God in the sunrise. And then I tried to let him control my hands while I was shaving and dressing and eating breakfast. Now I'm trying to let God control my hands as I pound the typewriter keys. There's nothing that we can do excepting to throw ourselves open to God. There must be so much more in him that he can give us. Oh, it ought to be tremendously helpful to be able to acquire the habit of reaching out strongly after God's thoughts and to ask, God, what have you to put into my mind now? If only I can be large enough. That waiting, eager attitude ought to give God the chance God needs. Oh, this thing of keeping in constant touch with God, making God the object of my thought, the companion of my conversations, it's the most amazing thing I've ever ran across. It is working. I cannot do it even half a day, not yet. But I believe I shall be able to do it someday for the entire day. It is a matter of acquiring a new habit of thought. Now I like God's presence so much that when for a half hour or so he slips out of mind, as God does many times a day, I feel as though I had deserted God and as though I had lost something very precious in my life. Wow. I want to be like Frank Laubach, trying to keep in step with the Spirit, with this intentional focus and openness to the presence of God. Somebody who was working on it for years celebrates because he's like, I've been able to do it for about half a day, and I know I could get there eventually. So I think for all of us rookies in this, I could be pretty excited if I could do it for like an hour, a few minutes maybe to start with, and to let it grow from there. And I'm confident the more we practice the presence of the Spirit, the more we become aware of God with us, the Spirit moving in us and around us, then the more we will grow in those things our passage talks about, the fruits of the Spirit. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness, right? These are things we want in our life, yes? I hope so. I do. But I think they only come as we attend to the presence of the Spirit. And we pay attention and we try to walk where the Spirit is leading us. That's our challenge, friends, practicing the presence of God. And we're going to be continuing in this next several weeks talking about the power of the Spirit and how it helps us and moves us into the ways of God's kingdom. As you go out this day, my prayer for you and for me would be this week that we are able, like Frank, possibly practice the presence of God more and more. God, we are grateful that your presence is with us, whether we notice it or not. It's the promise of your Spirit in our life. But Lord, we do want to walk with you, keep in step with you, and so we would pray for greater awareness, for our minds better attuned to your Spirit's presence. Oh Lord, this week, indeed, help us to focus all that we are on you and your guiding way in our life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we continue to walk by the Spirit as we worship, as we gather, as we respond to God's goodness, of our gift.